Blog Talk Radio.
Ray and Tay today. Yes, Sports Radio's on, talking sports with friends, and you know we got it on, from the NFL to the NBA, MLB and college hoops do it all day, college football, we know who's number one, understand, on the phones, you know we get it done, so call in 718-664-9098, and we'll give you more, talking sports, yes we do, talking sports, it's for you, Ray and Tay, and we
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. You're listening to Ray and Tay today, and I'm Ray, Tall Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor. It's a Monday. Give us a call. We got a special show. 718-664-9098. Always rayandtaytoday.com, rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. You want to, you know, send us your thoughts. All over social media. Tonight we have a guest from everywhere, right? He's got 33rd and 7th on Stash.com, ESPN, Knicks blog, you know, Blog Talk Radio talking Knicks, Anthony Donahue. So you want some Knicks talk, you have come to the right show with Ray and Tay. First, college football, and then we'll end with the NFL. Ray, you've got an announcement for the Heisman finalists, but I have to say this. I think the committee got it right. I'm excited about the games. I feel bad for Michigan and Penn State. But at the end of the day, Ray, you know what? If you only got one loss, you can't debate with Washington being in and Ohio State. To me, there was no question, even though Penn State beat them. You know, Big Ten championship doesn't really matter. Give me your thoughts and then give me the Heisman finalists.
So I agree with you 100% that they got it right. I agree wholeheartedly that Washington has to be in. I mean, if you're a one-loss team from a Big Five conference and you won your conference championship, how can you say that a two-loss team who won their conference championship, that would be Penn State, or a two-loss team that didn't even play in their conference championship, that would be Michigan, should go ahead of you? So I don't really feel, you know, Oklahoma, maybe they have a beef as well, but I think they got it right. I think Washington, with the resume, deserved it, because ultimately you got to reward them for what they did on the field. Now, do I think that Michigan's the best of all of those teams? Yes. And I think that Michigan's probably a top three or four team. Michigan might be better than Clemson. But you know what? You got to do it on the field. It's not just how good are you. It's how well you performed this year. So I think they got it right. As far as the Heisman, the name of the game is Oklahoma, because Baker Mayfield and his partner, his running mate, DeeDee Westbrook, are finalists for the Heisman Trophy.
Right, and I told you they probably would be.
Along with Deshaun Watson, Lamar Jackson, so obviously we got four offensive players, and just for keeping it real, a defensive player, Jabril Peppers from Michigan. So nice set of players there. I mean,
what about
Jake
Browning, though, Ray? Do you think
he got drafted
because...
Yeah, I think his late season performance cost him. But
wait, he wound up with, what, 42 or 43 touchdowns? Where did he fall? One game against USC? You know what I mean? Like, to me, because he got busy against Colorado.
They should have gone to six, and I'm not sure DeeDee Westbrook should be there ahead of Brown.
No, and he got injured in the last game against Oak State. Yeah, exactly. I don't know. I think, to me, I mean, not that it should always favor the quarterback, so I like Peppers being there, but I think I would have gone with Browning over DeeDee Westbrook. But look, Westbrook had a great season. And, you know, we've talked about this before. We're tired of quarterbacks always, you know, getting that edge. So it's nice to see a receiver there and a defensive player who's, you know, played offense as well. So I think that's great. Looking at the matchups, and obviously it's Washington, Bama, and Ohio State, Clemson, which will be out here in Arizona, and Alabama, Washington's in the Georgia Dome. So another home field advantage. Now, Penn State comeback was great. But just looking at these games, I'll tell you two games that pop out to me USC Penn State at the Rose Bowl, because USC and Penn State were in some ways the two hottest teams going to the end of the season, and some both feel like they could have been in there with Bama and Ohio State. And, you know, everybody likes the Auburn-Oklahoma matchup, and I think, you know, that should be pretty good at the Sugar Bowl. But I want to ask you, do you like those two, or do you like Louisville-LSU? Because to me, that's kind of sexy to see that LSU defense, right? And this is the Buffalo Wild Wings Bowl, you know, one of our favorite, the Citrus Bowl. That's a good Citrus Bowl, Louisville-LSU. So tell me which bowls you like, and do any of those three pop out as your favorites or any one matchup?
You know, I like all of them, frankly, because the minute your name is not Alabama, then you're in that other group of elite teams that, frankly, I want to see play each other. And this is one of those years, and I know you're a big fan of eight.
Yes, should
so
have been
almost
eight teams,
love to
right?
See multiple teams play each other. Maybe the hybrid is six with two teams getting a bye. I don't know, but I'd love to see any of those matchups. Right, I still think Michigan's the best team that's not playing for the national championship. I still think Lamar Jackson's the Heisman Trophy winner, most exciting player out there. Obviously, you know, Penn State, what a great job Franklin's done in his 3 years at Penn State. So you want to see if they're for real and outside
Incredible.
Of the Big Ten. So there's so many storylines, so many compelling storylines. LSU,
how about Michigan, Florida State?
Orgeron.
That's a good matchup, Michigan against Florida State in the Orange Bowl.
Yeah, sure.
You know, you hope Florida State's motivated.
Well,
but.
You hope Florida State's motivated, right? And with all that stuff about Jimbo Fisher potentially going to LSU. So that, one. And two, think about how motivated Michigan will be. A, that they got left out. Remember, that team scored 45 points in a row, four straight games. And B, remember that whole controversy with Jim Harbaugh recruiting in Florida, going down there, trying to get in SEC country. And even though obviously Florida State...
Well, that's why I would have liked to see Michigan against the SEC team. Almost let Florida State play Iowa and let Florida play Michigan. That would have been a little bit more yummy or exciting, you know, from my taste. But I like the matchups. I think because they have some rules with, like, the second-place SEC team and the second-place this, they have some restrictions. But overall, I think they did a great job with the bowl games and the matchups. And I think the fans, we went out, right? You know, to see an LSU defense against Lamar Jackson, who potentially is the Heisman winner, that'll be entertaining. You know, so you'll sit down and turn on your TV to, you know, December 31st and watch that. I know I will. I mean, why not, you know? So it's good. I think we all win at the end of the day. And like you're saying, if Clemson and Bama got the bye this year and they did six teams, it'd be nice to see, you know, Ohio State against, you know, either Michigan rematch and then Penn State against Washington, or however you want to flip it, you know, 5-6 or whatever. That would be really fascinating. So, you know, six is an option. You know, maybe if eight is too much for some people's blood, but I do think it needs to be extended, whether it's six or eight, Ray. And this year would have been that perfect example, you know. So, and I think Penn State's happy going to the Rose Bowl. I don't think they feel shafted. I think they are ahead of schedule. I think Washington's ahead of schedule. You know, young programs that are going to be good. And we saw something. We saw the emergence of Trace McSorley, a real quarterback at Penn State. I think he's better than JT Barrett, and I think he's a real deal quarterback. So that's got to be exciting too, you know.
You're not a JT Barrett guy, two-time Big Ten player of the
year.
He's not. Credit.
He's a college player. He's not
going
to the NFL.
That's okay. Be a good college player.
No, I know. He's going to be a head coach. I could see him being a coach, and Meyer will probably hire him once he graduates and stuff like that. And I think it's a beautiful story. I think Clemson, you know, we'll make our picks way later on, but I just think Clemson's more dynamic. Deshaun's had a lot of interceptions. They put a lot of guys in the NFL. But I think overall Clemson, you know, I had Clemson winning it this year, and I had them winning against Oklahoma. But I think Clemson is right now more talented than Ohio State. The only place where Ohio State has that great advantage, I tell you all the time, well, special teams and that secondary. I think that Ohio State secondary could pick Deshaun off three times, And I think, you know, maybe take one to the house, you know, like I predicted they would against the last game of the season that they played against Michigan, and they did. You know, so we'll see what happens. But JT, nah, I don't believe you. You need more people. And I think that's going to hold them back. But they're a year away. I think next year they could win it, you know, Ohio State. I really think they're a year away because they're young. You know, he's got a lot of young talent. So you can't be mad at it. I think, look, it's all set up lovely, you know, and it was a great college football season, and now for the bowl games, it's going to be even better. So you say, give me your Heisman. Is it Lamar, and then place the other guys however you want, or what? What do you
think? Yeah, I think it's Lamar Jackson. I think he was the most outstanding player in college throughout the year. His run of 3, 4, 5 games where he would put up 6 touchdowns, 7 touchdowns, and this isn't against some okey-doke teams. I mean, I think he was just by far the most outstanding player. His team didn't have ultimate team success, but then again, you know, other than Deshaun Watson, everybody else's team did well, but not, you know, Jalen Hurts. But put it like this, he's not competing against Jalen Hurts, right? He's not competing against anybody that's that's undefeated, that's 12-0, 13-0. So, bottom line is, I can't see anybody but Lamar Jackson winning this award.
Did you think Jalen Hurts or anybody else, Jake Browning, got jerked by not even being invited? Jalen Hurts,
you know,
is the
I always have a problem
team.
With this award when it's 5, 6 people, because if you believe like I do that Lamar Jackson is going to win this thing, how many people do you need to invite? Is 1 or 2 enough? Or 4,
well, they
five,
based it on the
six.
Voting. They based it on the voting, so that's why they didn't.
Yeah,
like those
but
guys.
But we all know that. I mean, at a certain point, like that the cutoff's pretty artificial, right? But I'm okay. I think Browning for Westbrook would have been the only move that I made. Jalen Hurts, the freshman, he'll be there again, and unfortunately, I think the voters think that way too, right? And I think Browning
even about
that
Browning, yeah,
hurt him because. They're figuring, okay, he'll be there next year. So picture Jalen Hurts and Browning getting, you know, getting some votes next year. They'll probably be in New York. But it's fine. It's fine. I mean, it's a minor tweak. Look, the right guy's going to win, so I have confidence.
So getting ready, well, can't forget this. Leonard Fournette announced he's declaring for the NFL draft. First-round pick for you? Top running back?
His star has taken a little bit of a hit. I think if it was last year, he'd have been a top 10. This year, look, the good thing for him is Ezekiel Elliott has proven that, you know, you can start right away and be an MVP candidate. Forget about rookie of the year.
Is he a third down back, though? I think he's more first and second.
That's exactly the point.
He is a downhill runner. You know,
he can be stopped against a pro defense. Now, granted, running back's a dependent position. You need to have holes so you can hit the holes. But against a pro defense 2 years in a row, he didn't do it against Alabama. So
right.
He's a guy. He's not dynamic enough. So you have he's now, this is great, right? He's Adrian Peterson, but not Barry Sanders or like an Ezekiel Elliott or something. He's a big, strong running back that runs downhill.
Big country boy.
Exactly. So if you get 80, 90% of Adrian Peterson, you're thrilled. So I don't think he's top five, but he'll be a first rounder, though. I think he'll be a mid to late first rounder, yeah.
What about that? You see, now this is, I get into, you know, it's fascinating, like Dalvin Cook, some of these other guys, you know, that's, you always wonder how all that plays out and, you know, the quarterbacks, you know, Kaiser or Watson and, you know, and who's going to get drafted. You know, we got to get Mel Kiper on the show. You know, we that's what we got to do.
Come on, talk to us.
Well, we
Mel.
Got our own Mel Kiper. We got Charles Davis, right? Charles is our draft specialist, so we just got to get Charles back. But Mel's a pretty good, you know. He's pretty good, you know. Between Charles Davis and Daniel Jeremiah, if we can, you know, get either one of them, we're straight, you know. But Charles Davis always breaks it down for us. He's, you know, a little bit more focused on the NFL nowadays. But, you know, either way, we get you specialists. I think, you know, soon we might as well start talking about it. As our guest, Anthony Donahue, will be joining us soon, Ray. Knicks have won 3 in a row, and I got to tell you, man, you know, you play against, you know, Carl Anthony Towns in Minnesota. He went off, what, 47-15 on us, and then in New York, you know, we still got the win. New York, we calmed him down a little bit with O'Quinn playing so well. And then we faced DeMarcus, who just eats us up. But, you know, either way, we scrapped, you know, we blew some leads, but we held on, and we got 3 in a row. Are you liking right now the 7th seed and a game out of basically the 4th seed? I mean, it's not bad.
So you know me, I should be in real estate, right? It's all about the neighborhood, right? And nobody except for Cleveland is really elite in the Eastern Conference. Not even Toronto. I think Toronto's kind of that next tier. So Cleveland gets an A. Toronto gets an A-, a B+, and even Boston, everybody else is up for grabs, right? I think 3 through 10 are up for grabs, 3 through 9. So better than being in the Western Conference where we wouldn't even have a dream of making the playoffs. But the Knicks have every right to think their roster. Now, they need some depth, and we'll talk to Anthony about that. But at the end of the day, the Knicks have every bit a chance to make the playoffs and maybe even win a series. Now they could not make the playoffs and not win anything if things don't fall right and they, you know, they're injured and what have you. But you know what? Why not? Look at this. Are you intimidated by the Chicago Bulls, by the Milwaukee Bucks, by the Charlotte Hornets? I mean, when they step off the bus, are you like, ooh, that team, that's Showtime Lakers? No.
You're not Shook Daddy.
No. And we have 3 players that can honestly bang their chest and say, look, I can carry this team for a week if need be, right? And Noah gives us the defense and the rebounding and some of the toughness that we were lacking a little bit. We've got an interesting team. So I don't think people are intimidated by the Knicks, but you know what? Melo is a professional. D. Rose is a former MVP. Porzingis is an up-and-comer that is, you know,
star,
half a notch behind Carl Anthony Towns. I mean, that draft class with those two looks pretty good, and D'Angelo Russell when he's healthy. Why not, you know? Why not? So if I'm the Knicks, why not? You just need some confidence. They're doing great at home. Just need to pick it up a little bit on the road. But, yeah, absolutely. If I'm a Knicks fan, I'm happy. I'm excited. What are we, 20 games in? Yeah, we're almost a quarter of the way in.
Yeah, some teams are 20. We're at 20 games. Some teams are at 22 already. So, we're a quarter in. You know, what I'm really impressed is, and we'll talk to Anthony about the Knicks, but also about some of these other guys, but, I mean, Harden, Davis, Westbrook, some of these performances are just absurd. I mean, Jason Kidd came out today, and he said he thinks Russell Westbrook can average a triple-double for a season. Now, you know, we've talked about him wearing down and being tired, but, I mean, that's just talk. I mean, he's right now,
I mean,
he's doing it.
He's doing it. He did it in March.
In March, sorry.
Yeah. Let's see if he'll do it in March. That was my point. But
right. He
did it in November. He averaged a triple-double for the month. I mean, he didn't get one triple-double, two triple. He's had 5 in a row, and then he's averaged a triple-double for the month.
Right, but he's got 9, I think, total. It's crazy.
It's really insane.
It's hard
nine
to fathom,
of,
right?
of his – Nine of his – how many games? Let's check.
21
games,
I think.
Oklahoma City play. Oklahoma City played 21. They're 13-8. So 9 of his 21 games. So half of his games, basically, he's had a triple-double.
And his triple-doubles are, you know, they're fruitful and bountiful, and they're full of everything. So let's bring in our guest, Anthony Donahue. Anthony, you're on Ray and Tay. What's up, man?
That might be – oh, Luke.
Oh.
Hello?
Okay. Hey,
hello?
What's up, O?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Hey, what's going
Not
on?
Not much,
we got,
man.
We got a
we
guest coming
guests,
on,
we'll have to put you on. Yeah, we'll put you on hold. We got our guest coming on, O, but stay on the line, all right?
Here we go.
Anthony, welcome to Ray and Tay, buddy.
What's up, Ray and Tay? How you guys doing?
All right. How are you?
Pretty well. Good, a little under the weather tonight. Nothing that I won't get over. I think this. I know Ray. See, Ray, you're not in New. I mean, Eric. Wait, Ray, where are you located?
I'm in New York. Remember, we had.
Ray's
going to
feel me on this. So, like, I don't want to make this whole segment about weather, as we shouldn't. But the weather in New York has been so bizarre the last month and a half. Like, it goes from literally 75 to 38 in less than 12 hours. So I feel like it's just messing everybody up. So it had me feeling a little, like, woozy today.
And we had a weather thing going. I don't know if you remember, but a couple years ago, it was right before Hurricane Sandy. We were on the line, and you lost power.
You lost
the lights.
Yes.
We have a weather thing
going.
We go back with weather history on this show. I like that.
New York weather's always been a little weird, but, like, you know, I'm at the track 3 weeks ago doing sprints, and it's 75, like, a week before my birthday, and I was born on November 17th, and today, last few days, it's freezing. I don't know how to dress anymore.
Oh, man. Well, happy belated birthday, and let's chop it up because, you know what? Our New York Knicks are playing some good basketball, and I want to ask you, do you feel like the Knicks have a legitimate big three now with Carmelo, a healthy each game improving Rose, and an emerging KP6? I like to call him hashtag KP6. I mean, averaging 22, 20, and 17 respectively. Give me your thoughts on the Knicks big three.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's LeBron, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh. I'm not saying it's Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, and Ray Allen, but it's pretty good. And the thing about this quote-unquote big three in this team, I think, and I could be wrong, but I think they're only going to get better. Derrick Rose can still, in my opinion, get to another gear. I think he's holding back a little bit, but at the same time, he also said he did an interview recently with Steve Serby from the New York Post, and he talked about, you know, I don't need to play 100 miles per hour every possession. Like, I remember watching Derrick Rose at Memphis. I remember watching Derrick Rose up until he got hurt in 2012. I saw him every time he came to the Garden. I've been a fan of Derrick Rose since Memphis, and there was a part of me that said, boy, he plays out of his mind, like just reckless. And he doesn't really play reckless anymore, but let me tell you what, when he needs to get to the basket and get a bucket, boy, guys, he gets it almost every time. And I do think he can still get to another gear, whether he's holding back or still working his way into shape. Carmelo is Carmelo. You know, he's been buying in. Still takes some few wacky shots here and there, but he's going to do that, but that's okay. KP's getting better every game. I think this team has a chance to be really good, and here's my thing with the Knicks. You know, we're not the Spurs. We're not, you know, the Cavs or any of these teams that have been competing for a long time. So my thing is, as far as this season, it's my new goal, guys, and a lot of the fans have been buying in with me. I've even ran into some fans of the games that have echoed this. Get to each holiday and matter. We made it to Thanksgiving. We matter. Now let's matter on Christmas. Let's matter on Dr. Martin Luther King Day. Let's matter on Valentine's Day. And if we make it to St. Paddy's Day, we're having a really nice season, fellas.
I like the holiday theme. Look at you. That's good. And, you know, Ray and Tay, we're all about
the Martin
Luther King
Day. If we make it to Easter, y'all better be coming to New York for some playoffs. If we make it to Easter, it's lit. It's lit, fellas.
that sounds good. So let me ask you this also, because this is kind of what I'm sensing. And, you know, I feel like I'm transformed to the Garden. I look for you on TV. I'm sitting in my living room in Scottsdale, Arizona, just throwing on my Knicks shirt. My kids are looking at me, Dad, why are you yelling at the TV? And I'm like, because my team matters again. And right now I'm sensing, and I want to ask
Knicks
you this.
Knicks fans matter.
Yes, we matter. Brandon Jennings the glue to the New York Knicks team right now? Because I feel like he's our guy,
great question,
man. I love
Brandon
him.
I'll tell you what. I spoke to Brandon Jennings a few weeks before the season started, and he said that he was coming off the bench more looking to score, being a scorer off the bench. And I tell you guys, not only Brandon Jennings has been fantastic, but he hasn't been a scorer. He's probably been the best assist man off an NBA bench I've ever seen. He's coming off the bench, making plays for others, getting guys the rock. Brandon Jennings, he's brought an attitude to the Knicks that the Knicks haven't had in a really long time. Yeah, Jennings is very important to the Knicks. You've seen Jeff Hornacek, especially with Courtney Lee out the last few games, use Brandon Jennings and Derrick Rose together more, and I really like that. But Brandon Jennings is a huge reason for this Knicks team success. And the Knicks have won, I think, Knicks have won 8 of 11, and they've won, I think it's like 6 of their last 8 since Brandon Jennings called the team out after the loss to the Wizards on November 17th down in Washington.
Absolutely. Well, Anthony, let me ask you this. Being a guy who's at the Garden, up close and personal, I make it to Knicks games here and there, but not enough. Talk to me about, is there a new feeling of optimism at the Garden? Are people just going to the Garden with a smile on their face? Because for years, and what, we have made the playoffs. We've made the playoffs, what, 3 out of the last 15 years? I forgot the numbers.
Yeah,
right?
Well,
4.
2004, 2011, 12, and 13.
Yeah.
Well, that's
so,
not a lot.
Not a lot, right? Steph Marbury was, you know, was one of them. Carmelo was a couple of them.
Yeah, we got snuck in 04. Then Tim Thomas. And, you know, Tim Thomas got knocked out by Kenyon Martin, and things were never the same.
That's a blast from
yes,
the past, right?
That.
But tell the fans of our show what the Garden's like now, and is there like a changing feeling inside the Garden?
The official change isn't there yet, because I think there's still fans that are like, "Is this real?" Now, mind you, the Knicks are only 11-9, so it's
9-3 at home, though.
Yeah. Oh yeah, no, they've been great at home. You know, they're a 5-game losing streak away from being, you know, 3 games under 500. There's an optimism, but I think it's still a little guarded. I think it's still not
That's
by
fair.
Me. You know, it doesn't take me. It doesn't take much to get me excited personally.
I like
I'll
that.
Watch the Knicks scrimmage in October against each other, and I'll be pumped up. But the crowd is starting to be like, okay, this could be real. This, it's not like they're 11-9, and they have Chris Duhon and Al Harrington or Clarence Weatherspoon and Shandon Anderson.
Oof.
And you say to yourself, well, they're just playing a little bit above their heads right now. They're going to come back to water. They started out slow. They were 5-7 at one point. But you look at this team. You see Brandon Jennings. You see Courtney Lee. You see Justin Holiday. Now you see the big guns. You see Kristaps Porzingis. You see Carmelo Anthony. You see Derrick Rose. You see, well, he hasn't played well yet, Joakim Noah. And you see a hopeful Joakim Noah getting better. You see Billy Hernan Gomez. And you say, this team's 11-9, but this team's 11-9 with a chance to get really good. And listen, there is nothing. And I'm a Giants fan, Yankees fan, Knicks and Rangers. But I've been in this town forever. When the Jets are good, the Giants are good, the Rangers are good, the Yankees are good, the Mets are good, the Islanders, the Devils, it's cool. It's great.
Yeah.
It's great. Nothing like an October baseball run for the Yankees and the Mets. But I tell you guys, when the Knicks matter in this town, there is
nothing like it,
because the Yankees could be on a run, right? You walk by somebody with a Yankee hat, you don't even look at each other. But when the Knicks are playing well, it could be in December, and the Knicks are playing well, and you both have Knicks hats on, and you walk by each other, I guarantee a wink is happening.
Yep.
It's just different. I can't explain it. And maybe it's because, you know, 15 years of complete ineptitude. But
it's because of 1973, and we remember 94 and 99 and Patrick not being healthy, and we remember 94 and Pat Riley not playing the different guards and just, you know, just
it's
the
funny
whole
as
Lajuan
you say that,
thing.
You know what I'm looking at right now? I'm in my third bedroom, which is an empty room right now. You know what I'm looking at as you said not playing that?
What?
My Hubert Davis Lajuan jersey.
Hubert Davis.
Pat Riley not playing the right guards, and I am looking at a Hubert Davis jersey right now.
Oh, my.
It breaks my heart. And you know what? And so that's what it is.
By the way, how many people have that jersey?
I don't know.
Not enough, because, listen, we loved Hubert Davis so much, we even liked him on ESPN when he was broadcasting the college basketball.
What is he doing now, by the way, guys?
He's back in Carolina. Isn't he assistant coach at Carolina?
Assistant coach? He might be, yeah.
Yeah. He went back to Carolina. He left broadcasting to go back to be an assistant coach.
Yeah, always liked Hubie. I was upset when we lost. That's when Houston came and Starks was the first guard off the bench along with Childs.
Anthony, let me ask you this. I'm a big fan of the neighborhood, right? And thankfully we're in the Eastern Conference and not in the West, right? I don't think we can compete out
there. I mean,
the
East isn't what it was 10 years ago, guys. The East is still pretty good.
No, but here's where I'm
going
with this. There's
better.
Two elite teams, I think. Cleveland and Toronto. Chicago's actually playing okay. They beat Cleveland. But looking at the standings between 3 and I guess it's 11, so that would be Boston all the way down to Orlando. That's there's 3.5 games separating those teams. And I don't think there's that much separating the Celtics, the Bulls, the Bucks, the Hornets, the Knicks, the Pistons. The Hawks lost 6 in a row. So, to me, that is definitely room for excitement for Knicks fans, because when you step off the bus, unless the Cavs bus is coming, even Toronto's bus, you're not intimidated. Nobody in the East intimidates me or anybody
that's
else.
A fact.
So
I agree.
So, okay.
And the Knicks have those, like we talked about, the big three of Porzingis, Rose, and Melo. The Knicks have killers. The Knicks have three guys that are not afraid to take and make big shots in big situations. And come playoff time, come big game situations, those are huge. I know the last few games the Knicks have blown some big leads, and as a fan, there's nothing more stressful than that. But I think I think the Knicks have learned from those blowing those games, because they had to hold on and win. The Sacramento Kings, they stink, but the Knicks had to hold on and win that game. Both Minnesota games, the Knicks blew some big leads. And listen, it was terrible. I was ready to cry. But the Knicks held on and win. And I'll tell you what, it's not easy when you blow a lead to hold on and win. And the Knicks didn't. You know, give them some, you know, pick apart what they did wrong. Sure, that's fine. But give them credit for holding on and getting the win. And listen, the last two times with the game on the line, Carmelo Anthony has made those shots. And that's very important going into big games, because we're going to need Melo in those late game situations. People act like it's easy to just get whatever shot you want. You want to pick apart Carmelo Anthony. You want to say he should do this, he should do that. With 2 minutes left in the game, when defenses are tight, you know you can give
Melo.
The ball to Carmelo Anthony. Yeah. He can get almost any shot that he wants. And that is not something everybody in the NBA can do. If everybody could do it, everybody would be Melo.
It's great, because actually the big three, they can all get their own shots. Kristaps is like Durant in a sense, because he's so big, you're not blocking his shot. And then D-Rose, the way he can move and boogie, he can get his own shot too. So it's great. That's what I mean. So wait, let me ask you this, because it led me right to where I was saying, because we're talking about them getting their own shots. But I think we're at this point where we got to start to be honest. And I have this feeling. I think –
I know where you're going here.
And I want to ask you, what do you want to what do you think they should do? I think they need to re-sign Derrick Rose and don't let him get to free agency.
Oh, I thought you were going
sign him to an extension. No. Sign him to an extension, because the way he's starting to get that little hop back in his step, and he's pulling up and hitting the 8-footer, the 12-footer, the floaters, he looks like, and you were saying maybe he's holding back, but I think he's, you know, like Stella got her groove. Like, I think he's getting his groove back. And
remember,
he's
never going to play like he used to, for the simple fact it's dangerous. It's legit
dangerous.
Derrick Rose used to play.
Right, but now he's playing like a wiser, smarter, former superior athlete, and I love it. And I think we don't want to lose him. I think we need to re-sign Rose. What do you think about that?
I'm 100% with you. My only question is, do you do it now, or do you wait till the summer where other teams can, you know, give him offers? I still don't think other teams will give him more than 2 or 3 years. I think they'll give him max money, just not for more than 2 or 3 years, but one thing the Knicks have not had, and this is going to happen when you're awful for the last 15 years, one thing the Knicks have not had over the last 15 years is any sort of stability. Obviously, every year, you know, the rosters change, you get new players here, you get new players
turnover,
there. You can win a championship and get some new players. But you have to have some sort of stability, some sort of camaraderie. And I think, yes, I'm all about re-signing Derrick Rose. The cap's going up, so if he ends up getting $20 million, it is what it is. But, yes, I think he looks great. The Knicks need some sort of stability. Stop dreaming about Chris Paul, you know, Kyle Lowry, you know, F all that stuff, man. I'm all about bringing Chris Paul back as well. I mean, Chris Paul, Derrick Rose. Yeah, I'm all for it. I don't want to lose him. I'm telling you, I'm all for it.
Well, let me ask you about another star, a young kid, Kristaps Porzingis. Is he a year away or is he here? What does this guy need to do?
I mean, he's here for what he's doing now. As far as his full potential, that might be 5 years away. But that's not an insult.
Can he reach his full potential with Carmelo on the team?
Maybe.
Can he be an all-star?
He might not need to. He might not need to.
But can he be an all-star?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. He might not need to reach. Listen, as long as you can get those two, like, really good together, that's what you need. And maybe you'll get that this year. Maybe you'll have a deep playoff run. Maybe it'll be next year. I don't know, but you need to get those two together at the same time. That's the key.
And they seem to like each other, and
they seem to
be getting along. So that's a good thing. That's a good sign. You know,
absolutely. I was hanging around the other night and I saw both guys after the game, and it was with no TV cameras around, and it was only for about a minute, so I'm not telling you it was like 20 minutes at all. It was only for a minute, and I saw them just talking, like two human beings, no cameras around, and I'm like, yo, these guys are legit like boys. They're cool, you know?
That's good.
That's great.
So,
that's great,
look,
to hear.
Enough, a little break for the Knicks before we let you go. I got to ask you, man, look, we're a quarter through the season. Everybody's played about 20, the most 22 games. Be honest, how sick is Russell Westbrook and James Harden and the way they're playing and right now through the quarter point, which one of them or Anthony Davis or whoever would be your MVP?
So as far as Russell Westbrook, I've seen his every trip to the Garden since 2008 when he was a rookie. Oklahoma City came in with P.J. Carlesimo in November of 2008. So I've seen, all of his trips. And he's tremendous. And I've watched his whole career, just like you guys have. But I was at the game last Monday, and he is on another planet right now, Russell Westbrook. What he's doing, forget the stats, just the way he's playing, the way he moves, the way he gets up and down the court and hangs in the air and makes plays. I mean, I saw Michael Jordan play throughout his career. I never saw him live until Washington. I saw him, I can't say I've seen a player live like I've seen Russell Westbrook recently, man. It's borderline ridiculous. The best player I've always said I've seen live, I don't know if he's the best player as far as skill-wise, but the most exciting player I've ever watched live in my life is Allen Iverson. And, you know, he did different things than Russell Westbrook. But Russell right now is tremendous. James Harden, same thing. I mean, people hate on James a lot. You know, defense isn't the best, but, you know, James Harden is playing on a very high level right now as well. I got to say, I
think
call
it's personal
myself
for
out.
James. Don't you
what?
Think it's personal? Because he didn't make – for James Harden, don't you think it's personal? He didn't make first, second, or third All-NBA, which was ridiculous, and everybody was crowning DeMar DeRozan and Klay Thompson as the, you know, maybe the two best shooting guards, and James is like, F that. Now, yes, he's playing point, but he'll still be listed, you know, for most ballots, maybe as a two. Maybe they'll list him as a point and a two. But I think it's personal. I think James is like, wait a minute. I should have got the MVP 2 years ago. The players voted me. I didn't get that. And last year I didn't get first, second, or third team. And I'm the freaking Dangaga. And he's like, I'm the stud. And I got the Rockets at the fourth seed right now. So I think you better respect James. Big game James.
Nah, he's
doing,
been great,
man.
And playing him at point guard, especially in Mike D'Antoni's system. I mean, James Harden's been absolutely spectacular. And he's definitely in the running for most valuable player in the NBA this year, without a doubt.
Absolutely. Hey, Anthony, let's look over at the West for a second.
Yep.
Do you think that anybody that we haven't talked about is worth talking about in the West, right? So we talked about Golden State a little bit. We talked about Houston, right? We talked about Oklahoma City. Can the Clippers, is this a year where they can go all the way? Are the Spurs, you know, are they the Spurs of the Tim Duncan era? Frankly, my favorite guy, last few years, he's become my favorite guy, Kawhi Leonard. Can that Kawhi Leonard and LaMarcus Aldridge duo, can they get through the West? I mean, shed some light on the Western. I mean, we talk a lot about the East, obviously, because the Knicks are in the East, but shed some light on what you're seeing from the Western Conference.
I mean, of course, all those teams can. It's just going to come down to matchups and where the ball bounces. 2 years ago, I picked the Clippers to win the championship. They blew that lead in the second round to the Houston Rockets, and they were up 3-1, up 25 points in game six in Los Angeles. They blew that game. They definitely can. You know, I think the Spurs can. You know, obviously only one team's going to finish for the championship or come out of the West, but I think all those teams are capable of it. It's just going to matter, you know, come down to matchups, who makes big shots, who makes big plays, injuries. But I think the Clippers, I mean, they're ready. It's just a matter of, you know, can they finish the job?
And let me ask you a follow-up question. If Chris Paul doesn't make it to an NBA Finals at least, do you think that we're going to look and take a little bit off of his legacy?
Maybe. I probably won't, but maybe. I won't, but people will.
Right,
I love Chris
at least
Paul.
Barkley,
I think
Ewing.
He's the best pure point guard in the NBA, one of the best point guards of all time. But will people, you know, take something off his legacy? Of course. That's
Barkley, Ewing, Malone, Stockton, they at least made it to a final.
They did. There definitely will be people that have something to say about that, but that's going to happen.
Iverson. I'm just throwing
yep,
names
Iverson
out
made
there.
Yep, Iverson made
the final.
Got that game one versus the Sixers.
When he stepped over Tyronn Lue, remember that?
Stepped over Tyronn Lue.
Forget that. That was a classic moment.
And listen, this has been great like always. I got to ask you this real quick as we let you go.
Yeah.
Should we make a move before the deadline? And we'll probably have you on after the deadline. But should we make before the deadline? But wait, to get a veteran four that can either, you know, score a little, something. If we can find a – because I feel like – I love O'Quinn. I think Noah's still got to get healthy. O'Quinn's been amazing.
Last year.
Yes.
Cousins putting it on at the last couple games.
Yeah.
Listen,
we need a little help.
The 1995-1996 Bulls, to me – still the best team I've ever seen play, as much as it pains me to say, that's the best team I've ever seen. Unless you're that team, you can always look to upgrade, you know? You can always look to upgrade. And I think if the two things the Knicks need to me the most are some more interior defense, some more rebounding, and the things that Joakim Noah hasn't brought yet, and maybe another shooter from the outside. But I think they need rebounding more. You saw the offensive rebounds the Knicks gave up to
Oklahoma
City
nice
to lose that
forward,
game
man.
Last Monday night at Madison Square Garden. So if there's a body out there to get, I'm all for that. They don't need more guard play, you know, with Justin Holiday, Derrick Rose, Brandon Jennings. Even I'll tell you what, you know who's low-key played well in short minutes the last few games? Sasha Vujicic. He is low-key played very well.
Yeah.
So they don't need really guard play. They need some more rebounding.
No, definitely, man. Listen, it's been great like always. Hey, as we let you out of here, man, tell our audience where they can hear you because we know you're everywhere. Give us a little Anthony schedule or where we can check out your blogs and your podcasts at.
Yeah, sure. It's best just to follow me on my social media, AnthonyMSG on Twitter and Instagram. Got a few different shows with Sportsnet New York. I contribute for ESPN New York. Also, I have my own show, 33rd and 7th, with Anthony Donahue on the Stash Media Network. So I got a lot of things going on. So just follow me on my social networks, and you'll catch it all.
That's awesome.
Sounds great, man.
And thank you so
Talk
much.
Talk to you soon, man.
You
Merry
bet, guys.
Christmas.
Have a good
Happy
one.
Happy holidays. All that good stuff, man.
Same to you guys. Take care.
Happy holidays. Bye-bye.
Peace.
All right.
Oh, that was awesome. Ladies and gentlemen, Anthony Donahue, he gives you everything you need with the Knicks talk.
Let's get Oluk back, because Oluk's been waiting patiently.
Oh, yeah. We haven't had O on in a minute. Now, listen, we're getting right to the NFL. Real quick, though, because we know, you know, sometimes you like to be a Knick hater, but how are you feeling about the Knicks? How are you feeling about the Knicks right now? Because we know you can't talk about your Niners, so what do you think about the Knicks right now, O?
You know what? I'm glad you had Anthony on there. I've been very pleasantly surprised, but I will say a little guarded, too. I don't want to jinx what I'm seeing happen because I'm very excited what's going on. I really think that the Knicks can make a push. I just don't want to put it out there so much because I really worry about the season, how Derrick Rose is going to last the whole season. But I think that the moves have been made are excellent, and I think definitely can ink away in the playoffs this year. I told my brother I'm going to have to go ahead and find a jersey. I throw in the box somewhere a long time ago and pull it back out. I'm that excited about it.
Okay.
Oh, man. That sounds good. So, Ray, before we even go backwards to yesterday's games, and we got to start with, you know, Cam Newton and the Seahawks, let's get it out of the way, man. Monday Night Football, our New York Jets hosting the Indianapolis Colts, Fitzpatrick starting. You know, the dialogue is the same. What's wrong with Revis? Why is Fitzpatrick starting? The season's over, yada, yada, yada. At the end of the day, though, I think they can win this game. I know Luck's coming off the concussion, and he's going to be fine, and T.Y. Hilton's back. But this team defense is not that good, so I think Fitzpatrick can throw a lot. And guess what? The defensive line, they are going to bang Andrew Luck around. And I'm not rooting for him to get another concussion, but he better just be careful, keep his head on a swivel. I'm going to take the Jets in a weird score, weird game, 25-24. Jets win, maybe an end field goal to take the lead. What do you got?
Well, the Jets could win the game because this is the perfect game for Ryan Fitzpatrick. Go out there, no pressure. The Jets are terrible. They're 3-8. But you know what? Here comes the selfish part of me, the Jet fan. We need that draft pick, man. You got to lose the game. I hate to say it, but we're fighting with Oluk's Niners. We're fighting with the Chicago Bears. We're fighting with Cleveland, Jacksonville.
And Jaguars.
We need a top five pick. So I think they're going to ultimately do the right thing and lose. So it'll be a shootout. I think it will be a shootout. As long as Andrew Luck stays healthy, I think the Colts have a little too much. I think between Gore and Hilton helping Luck matriculate the ball down the field, I think the Jets D is good, but Andrew Luck's going to be just a little bit better. So I got the Colts winning in a pretty decent offensive game, 30-26.
Now, while we're predicting, let's get this out of the way. Thursday Night Football, the Oakland Raiders, who we'll talk about in a minute, they go to division rivals, the Kansas City Chiefs, who are coming off an Eric Berry victory and just looking really good. It's in Kansas City, so you know it's hard to win in Kansas City. The Raiders have won recently at home and on the road and played better on the road all year. But you know what? As much as I love the Raiders, I don't know if they're going to go to Kansas City and win on a Thursday night. I'm going to say that the Chiefs win a battle and a close game, 26-24, the Chiefs, and they might take another one to the house. Maybe instead of Barry, it's Marcus Peters, and they win.
So I agree that the Chiefs will win. However, the Chiefs need to score on defense, and that's a little scary because if the Chiefs don't create the turnovers that they created against Matt Ryan, remember, Barry at the end of the half returned one for a touchdown, and then the pick two, as they're calling it. By the way, I think they have to change that rule. It just seems – it just doesn't seem right to me that you're going for one. And
yeah,
in that case, they're going for two, but it's the same concept.
Right, they're going for two.
But they're going for two. But remember, 2 weeks ago, the New Orleans Saints were going for one, right? They tried to kick a one-point extra point, and Denver blocked it and went and returned it for two. How are you going to score more points on the return than the other team was trying to score initially, right?
Okay, so I agree. It should be two or one, depending on what they're going for,
maybe,
right?
Because I'm not feeling this like you score more than the other team can even score. But anyway, putting that aside, the Chiefs need defensive at least turnovers, so it all comes down to Carr and is he going to turn it over? I think they'll get one because he's still not quite the veteran that maybe he's growing into. But it's a little scary to me that they can't beat you mano a mano. They need their defense, and if the defense doesn't create one, they're not going to win. But I do think they have one, so I think they'll win a close game. I think it'll be a little low scoring because I think both defenses will slug it out a little bit. So I'll say 24-23. I'll say very close, but KC wins at home.
Now, the only thing I have to say about the Seahawks, and I want O's opinion on this, look, they turned the corner. They're getting Jimmy Graham and Thomas Rawls going. They smacked the Panthers in the mouth. You know, to me, sometimes I wonder if coaches and organizations get too cute with the whole dress code stuff. I think Cam is in the wrong, and you got to treat the 53 guys all the same. But at the same time, maybe the dress code on the road or whatever, maybe it's just outdated because you can't start off that
so
game like that.
So what was it? Shed some light on it. Like he
didn't have a tie.
What exactly happened?
He didn't have a shirt and tie, so he got benched for the first series. It just so happened the first series was an interception that really wasn't Anderson's
fault.
Yeah,
so because he wasn't wearing a shirt and tie?
For the game, for showing up at the arena. Now, remember, they were out there for a week, so I guess the San Diego game he had one, and then this game he didn't. But I don't know. Like, to me, the team is in such a bad situation. I don't know if making that point, maybe you fine them a little bit. I don't know what it is, but I just think, look, the season's over, so where do they go from here and how do they grow? But my bigger question, and I want O to answer this one, and then you jump in, Ray, are the Seahawks, did they just lose their season? Kind of like the Patriots losing Gronk. I don't know if they can get the Super Bowl now. And I picked the Seahawks to go to the Super Bowl, but without Earl Thomas, the best free safety in the game, I don't know if they beat the Cowboys. What do you think about them losing Earl Thomas? Oh,
I think that was a big blow. Easily,
yeah.
I mean, and it was a freaky play. It was a big blow. But you know what? The Seahawks and the Patriots seem to be able to get past what we think are big hurdles to them. we can't get over the fact that Rawls showed in that game they have another weapon, that as long as you outscore the other team, I think they can still, their defense is still formidable enough that they can still hang in there with anybody, and they just have to bring that front seven up a little more and try to be a little more aggressive on the team. So, as Seahawks, I want them to lose every time, but they I don't think it's going to be – I think they're going to adjust and surprise teams to be able to see, still play pretty well, but they're definitely going to miss them. They're definitely going to miss them.
So my thing was they won – they lost – I mean, they won 40-7. The only touchdown they gave up was the very first play after Earl Thomas was out. They exploited the middle of the field, right down the middle of the field. And I was thinking to myself, are you kidding me? Teddy Ginn, the only person that can actually, you know, stretch the defense, goes right down the middle. But I think they'll recover from that. And I agree with O in the sense that this is a pretty resilient group. You know, they lost Cam Chancellor, and they figured out how to play. They needed him more spiritually and kind of on the sidelines. And you're right, Earl Thomas's presence is definitely going to be felt. But I think given enough time, and what they say, what's the official line on his injury?
Oh, he's done for the season. It's a fractured leg or broken leg, so he's done.
So he's all good.
Back.
Okay, I mean he's all done. Yeah. So you know what? The only saving grace is...
He tweeted out about retirement. Did you hear about that? That was the big story of the day. He talked about maybe retiring. He was so upset last night. He tweeted on the sidelines about...
Yeah, sleep on that for a little bit, partner.
Yeah.
You're still at the top of your game. Unless you're trying to be Robert Smith, you know, or Barry Sanders and retire at the top of your game, you need to go back.
And ironically enough, last week was the first game he's ever missed in his career. So, he's emotional. So let's get on to the next game, man. I mean, you know, just looking at a couple of games, look, Arizona got a nice win. I still think, you know, they still have a wild card shot alive because they knocked down the Redskins. But I think the real story is Tampa Bay. And I told Ray on Friday they would go to San Diego and win, and he thought Philip would do it. But I think Jameis Winston and this defense and getting some help for, you know, Vincent Jackson's been hurt, so getting some help from Mike Evans, this kid Cameron Brate stepped up, and Dougie Martin's back, and the Buccaneers are a legit team tied with the Falcons, but they're in second because of the tiebreaker. But Tampa Bay's pretty impressive. I just think they have a tough schedule the rest of the way out, so that's the hard part, you know.
You know,
can I say something that nobody is really going to be giving enough credit to Jameis Winston, how well he's been playing?
Yeah.
I mean, this dude has gone and beat Seattle, beaten some quality teams, and kind of under the radar, but he brings his A game. And when you look at his weapons, Mike Evans emerged this year, but he's been doing this with who he had. And if he has one more person in there, I think you got to be a team to watch. So really on the verge of coming up.
And to Luke, let me give you a stat that I saw yesterday that I thought was unbelievable. And you know how these cats from the Elias Sports Bureau and ESPN and Fox and all these guys, they can come up with some esoteric stats. But I thought this one was actually really legit. Jameis Winston played, I forgot how many games he played. I think he played 27 games in college, too. He played 27 games in college. And in every single game, he scored a touchdown. Jameis Winston played 27 games in the pros, and in every single game, he scored a touchdown. That's a big deal. Either by throwing or him running, but every single game he's played in at the college and the professional level, the guy has accounted for a touchdown. Now, a quarterback's job is much more than that, but if you're giving your team at least a touchdown in every game, means you're doing something right. You're giving your team a chance to win. At the end of the day, you're the head of the team, but first and foremost, you're the head of the offense. So that's pretty impressive.
No, you're definitely right. And like O said, he beat San Diego. He beat the Seahawks, and he beat the Broncos. So, you know, Jameis is legit. Look, the Packers woke up. The Bengals, you know, their season's over, but they beat the Eagles. How impressive
you
guys, though, honestly.
What about if you're
an
Eagles fan right now? You started out 3-0, and then you've gone, 2-7?
But we knew that they didn't have – look, Carson, I think, is going to be good, but – there, besides Darren Sproles, there's no consistent weapons on that team. So there's not much for them. But we got to give some props, honestly, to two teams. First of all, I mean, definitely the Raiders, because to come back the way they did against the Bills at home, and the Bills are formidable. I mean, I was saying, you know, the other – I mean, right now, you got to say Le'Veon Bell, Ezekiel Elliott, David Johnson, DeMarco Murray, and Shady McCoy – you got five amazing running backs this year and having great seasons in the NFL. And, you know, Shady put it on the Raiders, but Derek Carr, him and Amari Cooper, 38 points, man, and Crabtree, they just keep lighting it up. So I'm loving the Raiders. How impressed are you guys with the Raiders and where they can run? And then also talk about the Baltimore Ravens putting a shellacking on the Dolphins in a big potential playoff battle. You know, loser could miss the playoffs now, and the winner, like the Ravens in their division, they're still clearly alive.
So I tell you what, you have to give Detroit and Baltimore a lot of credit, because different teams, different scenarios, but the end result is the same, right? AFC North, NFC North, these two teams are really impressing me because they're winning dirty. They're winning, you know, games that they're just in the trenches. They're not out talent. You know, they don't just roll off the bus like the best show on turf, you know, in the 1999 St. Louis Rams. These guys are actually playing. They're coaching. They're playing. They're executing. You know, and two quarterbacks, frankly, who their star has been on the decline. People have been saying that Flacco, you know, peaked at the Super Bowl, and that, you know, Stafford throws too many interceptions. You lose Calvin Johnson. You know, people were down on him. So both of those teams, both of those franchises, and both of those coaches, frankly, are pulling it together. So I'm very impressed with those two teams.
I think that when you look at the Raiders, I heard what you guys said earlier, people need to wake up. That team is legit. They have their problems with penalties and lapses, but they can score. And they are not fearful of any team in the NFL. And you know what? With Gronk being out with the Patriots, I already see them being the AFC champion with the Patriots.
And they have potentially the best defensive player in the game.
Yep.
Oh, Khalil Mack's unstoppable. Did you see him at the end of that Raiders game? They could not stop Khalil Mack. It's incredible.
If he goes psycho on them at New England, and David Carr's slinging that ball like he likes to do, don't sleep. This team can do whatever it wants, and I think that when you have a team that hasn't been there but they feel like they deserve, they're dangerous. And right now I look at them as being one of the most dangerous teams out there because they don't fear anybody.
And you know what's great? It's almost like, I hate to use this because it kind of downplays their talent level, but they're almost so young that they don't even know that the Raiders have been terrible since 2002. You know what I mean? All these guys, especially at the skill positions, like the Amari Coopers of the world, he's in his second year. Derek Carr's in his third year. Khalil Mack, you know, all these guys, they're so young. Latavius Murray, they're so young that they're like, okay, so we're an NFL team like any other NFL team. Why can't we go get it? Why can't we win? And little do they, you know, no, they haven't been in the playoffs since they lost the Super Bowl in 2002.
Yep.
No, you're totally right, Ray. And you know what I like about the Raiders? Derek Carr, you know, at the head, their leader, when he hurt that finger and he came back in with the glove and brought them back last week, I think that said a lot to the team and said a lot about him as a leader. And, you know, they have three running backs, you know, Latavius, Murray, and the other two are all contributing. The tight end contributes. The receivers are great, even Seth Roberts in a slot. They're really doing good. I want to ask you guys this before we end the show, man. How in the heck, you know, of course the Patriots spanked the Rams, but how in the heck does Jeff Fisher get a two-year extension with all this controversy with him and Eric Dickerson, and the president and GM are making excuses? Oh, well, the team had to move, and he had to deal with a lot. Are you kidding me? The offensive plays are so, like, prehistoric. There's no offensive talent. The GM did a poor job constructing the team. Would you, as a Ram fan, even want to support this team with Jeff Fisher and everybody staying on for two more years?
Heck no. I tell you what, there's only one thing that I can say and I'm trying to convince myself of why. I think it's terrible. I think Jeff Fisher shouldn't be an NFL head coach anymore. I mean, he's had too many chances.
Yeah.
To me, the only thing I can think of is just waiting it out until the stadium is built and then cleaning house. Basically hoping that Jared Goff and Todd Gurley are your two anchors on offense at least. You have a very good defense if they can.
Oh,
you know, yeah,
Aaron Donald's
right.
The best. Yeah.
But maybe just waiting, biding time, maybe getting a couple more draft picks, and then going out and getting your Jimmy Johnson.
Getting a good coach.
Or getting your Jim Harbaugh. Or getting your
David
Shaw
or young
coach,
yeah.
David Shaw. Yeah. Maybe it's just waiting until you feel like the team is right. That's the only thing.
That's why it's only a two-year extension, because then the stadium will be open that third year, a new coach. That's a great point. Now, look, the show, we got to end it, but you know we can't end it without talking about my Pittsburgh Steelers, baby, 24-13. They took care of the Giants. Let me tell you something. It should have been 24-7. That last touchdown was nothing. We locked down that offense. The defense couldn't handle us. And I'm telling you, you talk about Gronk and you talk about the Raiders. If I'm the Pittsburgh Steelers and our defense is getting better, and guess what? Who came to the party? The Darius Green showed up for 6 receptions over 100 yards and a touchdown. Le'Veon Bell, another 100-yard game. Antonio Brown, Big Ben. I am not afraid of anyone in the AFC, and the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to the Super Bowl. I just dropped the mic.
First, get to the playoffs, homie. Right now,
you're not even in the playoffs.
You're losing the tiebreaker to the Ravens.
We'll be there. And we're ready for grown man strength, week 16. Steve Smith, we got something for his butt. Week 16 in Pittsburgh. We'll take care of the Ravens. The division is ours. We're going to Buffalo next week. We'll then go to Cincinnati, smack both of them up. And then at home against the Ravens and Cleveland, we're going to run the table to end the season winning 7 in a row. That's gangster. Respect the steel curtain. We're going for our 7th ring. Our 7th ring. Bling, bling. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm glad you're so convinced. We'll see. We'll talk about this, I'm sure, all season. But that's all right. Go to sleep. Hug your terrible towel, and we'll keep talking this the next few weeks.
Should be a great sports week. Good to see Tiger Woods is alive. You know, he didn't. You know, he finished what 15th Ray or something like that.
15th out of 17.
But at least,
yeah.
I thought it was 18 guys, but he played okay though. So. Better than, look, he finished, and he's not dead. He's healthy, a little healthy.
God.
So it's a good sign. Good college basketball this week. A lot of good stuff. Oh, thanks for getting back with us and calling. And we will be back Friday. Carlos Beltran will talk about some signing. Sign with the Astros. The Giants are making rules. So the hot stove, Ray, we'll talk about that on Friday. So it should be a good show. And thanks for Anthony Donahue. Let's go Knicks.
Take it easy, fellas.
All right, later. Good show. Let's go, Jets.